Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, Eric. Hello, everyone. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really nice, thank you. I had last night, my brother and I went up to Toronto, and there's this, it's called Pitch Talks, and it's there's been some local baseball reporters in particular who have really made it big in the industry, and some locally homegrown from Hamilton and Toronto. One, Dan Shulman, he works for ESPN, and he's kind of the lead. If there's ever a really big game on ESPN, whether it's basketball or baseball, he does it. And he originally started here on the radio, on local radio, and then he eventually grew to television in the mid-90s. And this is like when I'm a teenager, so I used to listen to him on the radio when I was like going to, you know, when the parents would send me to bed, like at, you know, whatever, 8:30 when I'm 12, he was the person who was doing all the talking, and he was just this young sports fan doing the after baseball show, and then he just made his way up, and now he's the, you know, the lead at ESPN, which is just really kind of interesting. And so terrific voice, terrific communicator, and so on. And then there's also a handful of others. And so this group kind of gets them back together at the beginning of the baseball season, and they do a talk, a candid, engaging talk. The president of the Blue Jays was also there. And so it's about a four-hour event, and it's just basically talking about baseball in the industry and how media covers it and so on. So it's kind of just a – I don't know if you want to call it a conference or something, but it was really fun, and it's something that my brother and I were really looking forward to doing. And we were able to do it last night, and then yeah, it was great. Went out for a late dinner afterwards, and so I'm just I'm super thrilled. I had some great entertainment and great company, and you know, we wake up today a little bit later than normal because I stayed up quite late, but it was a really wonderful night, and it's just so interesting to watch the career arc of somebody, and especially somebody who you might admire as having some skills you'd like to have it yourself.
Yeah, that's really cool. And how nice that you have a work schedule that will allow you to go out late and maybe sleep in a bit.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, I mean, that's one of the great things about, you know, being self-employed and not being in the corporate, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to God knows when anymore. It does afford you that time to really recoup and, you know, sleep in if you need to and do things that you really want to do. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely found that, you know, when I had a more strict early morning job, that definitely it was always a struggle to go to bed because it's like I'm not done with my day yet. You know, there's still more fun things I want to do. And I know that was like almost a daily, you know, kind of internal struggle.
Yeah, I bet. Like that, yeah. Well, it's like being a night person. I think I'm more of a night person than a morning person. Mm. And so, yeah, in the evening, it's like, ooh, this luscious time that's still here, you know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. Yeah, I used to cause conflict. My dad was such an early morning person, and, you know, as long as I, like, got out, you know, listen, now I'm going into, like, my late teen years and, like, you know, when I was still at home there and then, you know, as long as I went to bed before he woke up, you know, there was no conflict.
But, as long as you didn't meet in the hallway.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of almost a different way, a different kind of curfew that was the norm for us for a couple of years.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. I was a flashlight under the covers of the book.
Oh, were you?
Kind of person. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, you know, you get sent to bed or whatever, and then, you know, as long as you were quiet, you could generally get away with a lot.
Yeah, just don't draw attention to yourself.
No. I used to have this little handheld football game, and my goodness, this is like before, like, Nintendo. I'm like 5, 6 years old, and it was very, very simple. It was like 21 little light display, and these little lights represented football players. And it was a really, really, you know, it was a handheld game, and for the time, it was amazing. And so, but it would the buttons. There was like 7 buttons, and they would make this clicking noise. And I tried to think of every way I could. I used to go through batteries because they used to be on batteries, right? Like 9 volts.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It was. I used to go through batteries like crazy back in that day. And yeah. And I try to play the game, but like push the buttons like really, really soft, because if the parents heard the clicking, you know, I got another visit. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to bed. how was your week?
My week was good. I sort of back in school.
Oh.
So, well, you know, I mean, I'm doing a few seminars at the Ontario Employment Center.
Okay.
Just to get up to speed on, you know, what it takes to search for a job, which is quite a bit these days, I'm learning. And so, yeah, I'm kind of a bit of a student again, which is interesting. It's been a long time since I was really, you know, in a class, sort of classroom setting. So so it's been interesting. And yeah, still wrapping my head around that whole idea. And a lot of it has to do with the whole time thing, you know. Like we were just talking about, that freedom to sort of make your own time and make your own schedule. And, yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for it. And as a five Enneagram, time and energy are very precious to a five. So, so it's like trying to let go of that too. And, I'm so passionate about my business and what I do that I still, you know, in a way have hope that things will improve with that. And I haven't totally let go of it, so, you know, there's that space for it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Whatever the universe sends me today is what I'm doing. And I do have a couple of little things on the go, so it's good.
Yeah, I can definitely feel you when you say about the going back and doing formalized, like, you know, some training or some, you know, me and you, we talk all the time, and we share all the time, too, like when we see each other, it's like, oh, have you read this? You know, here, take this, and have you heard this CD, and these kind of things. And so there's always, like, this real excitement around learning, but, you know, being out of school, you kind of do it on your own terms and in a way that works for you in a way that feels, like, pleasurable. And then you go into, like, a institutionalized format, and there's papers and, you know, questions and things they're trying to teach you that you don't have a whole lot of reference for. It's like, oh my God, it seems overwhelming, and it seems like there's going to be like a massive amount of energy taken to just comprehend, you know, the kind of game in which they want the answers and the way in which they want to teach you.
Yeah, and that's really what it's like. It's like you don't write a resume the way you used to write a resume, like even 5 years ago. It's totally different now, and this is how you have to write it. And it's like, oh my gosh. You have to go to school to learn how to find a job.
Yeah, what in this world hasn't been institutionalized, right?
Yeah. Oh. And here's me saying, I don't really want to find a job because, I'm really being honest about it, though. It's like, I don't want to find a job, but I'd like to make some money. So, you know, what does that mean? On the other hand, it may look totally different than what, you know, that old-fashioned idea that I have in my mind. It may be that I just get these little small jobs that people say, oh, can you do this for me? I'll pay you. It may turn into that, and I'm okay with that, actually. I think I'm better with that than that, well, you have to be here Monday to Friday, and you have to show up at 9, and you leave at 5 or 6. And I think I'd be better with just, I got this little job. Do you want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me at all, knowing you, that would be, you know, even more better.
yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens. I'm just, you know, I'm open to just about everything.
Yeah.
So
I know that this week, I even had an experience like this, too, this week, where we kind of wanted to talk about what it means when you feel, when somebody comes at you, you know, with some elevated energy or when you feel attacked. in a way. And I'll hand the floor back to you to kind of like elaborate on where exactly you wanted to take this.
Okay, so it's come into my focus, I guess, in observing, and not necessarily with me, but just with other people around me, that idea of when somebody is attacking, what is presumed to be attacking, how differently individual people receive that. So if someone is saying something to me, oh, blah, 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 and like they're kind of nitpicking at me, I've really learned to recognize that it is their call, it's a call for love. It's that person is saying, I can't cope right now, and this is the way I'm handling it. This is the way I know how to handle it. Other people may not, because it's a trigger, right? So for me, it used to be a trigger. I've spent a long time working on it. And so it's not as much of a trigger for me as it used to be. I'm not saying never, because I'm human, but it's not so much of a trigger for me as it used to be. But I've noticed for other people, it can be a trigger. And it all comes down to perspective and how you look at it. And it brings to mind for me the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And one of those Four Agreements is, don't take things personally. And I think we do far too much of the taking things personally. You know, when someone says something very inane and, you know, for the most part meaningless to most people, and we turn around and say, well, what did they mean by that? And what are they trying to say? Are they saying I'm stupid? Are they saying this? Are they saying that? Because we're taking it personally, and we're taking how that person's behaving and what they're saying, and we're applying it to ourselves. And we're assuming that what they're saying and how they're acting is a reflection on us. It's not. It's a reflection of what is happening inside them that's manifesting in the outside world in the way they behave towards other people. So if you have someone who's really, really angry and, you know, they go into a store, say, and they don't get the service that they expect and they get angry, then the cashier or the person at the store may take it as an attack on them. But what it really is that angry person not being able to cope, but also not being able to express, I can't cope in a healthier way. So I think the important thing is for us to recognize when we want to attack someone and really look at it and really, you know, track back to, yes, I'm angry right now. Okay, why am I angry right now? Like there's got to be something behind it, because anger, as I always say, anger is a mask for our vulnerability. So what is the vulnerability behind it? And can I express myself from that vulnerability? And then from the other side of it, can the other person look at it as a mask for the vulnerability and understand that and perhaps have a little more compassion for the person who's, you know, expressing their anger, whatever it is, or attacking, and realize they're not being attacked at all. They're just, somebody's just expressing to them something that they don't know how to express in a better way. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, I really hear you in that. And I really do like that. It's really important to have these inputs where you are able to separate another person's anger from it having anything to do with you. But that's kind of like the pull of the ego in a way, or even just a pull of somebody else's energy. You know, our energy, you know, when we're feeling, you know, light and maybe hyper and excited, you know, we kind of want other people to join us in that, you know, and that's kind of like a positive way that we want to have others to kind of reflect and join us in our energy. And when it comes to, you know, anger or an outburst, it's the same thing. You know, that their ego, you know, their energy, it triggers us. And we can, at that moment, and it's a great time to create the gap, you know, when you're able to see somebody else now going through this process, to be able to ask ourselves or to at least acknowledge the situation where it's like, here's a choice. You know, here's where I can get triggered. Here's where I can get drawn in to the anger or the upset or the intensity of their, I don't want to say negative emotion, but their, you know, strong, uncomfortable emotion. And they may say things to us to try to even get us. You know, they may be active and start to use personal language and so on. But even when they do, it's still not personal. You know, it's what's going on in them. And at that moment, we have the choice to engage and follow that trigger, and then to, you know, mirror, reflect, or join their energy, or we can stay in our power. You know, and if we do that, we're kind of giving away our autonomy, and we're giving away our power to feel and have our inner experience be as we choose it, and not be, you know, pulled upon by external influences. Or we can stay in our power and understand that, you know, that person right now is hurting.
I've lost you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. yeah. And that, I think I said most of it anyways, even though I lost my last track, I thought.
Oh, sorry about
that.
Hey,
no problem at all.
Yeah, just, you totally cut out. So. so hopefully I got the gist of it. I think what happens is, you know, when we're, I mean, I think everybody knows that feeling of being in love. Even if you don't have a partner, you know that feeling of when someone loves you so much and they express it to you, and that how it fills you up and how good it feels. And in that moment of feeling so fully loved, nothing can bother you. Nothing. Someone could tell you you are an idiot or they hated you or whatever, and it would just bounce off you because you're just feeling so much love, you don't care. But it's those moments that we turn away from love. It's those moments when we forget our loving presence that we feel attacked and we feel defensive and we feel that, you know, we start looking at all those things and listening to the ego that's telling us we've done something wrong, we've been bad, and you know, we have to fix it for this person or whatever it is, and that the person's angry because of something you did. It's not, you know, that's not what it's about at all. It's about being in that loving presence and recognizing that other person that is, in, I put in air quotes, attacking, has forgotten their loving presence. And if we can stay connected to our own loving presence, we can remind them of theirs, and even possibly bring them back to themselves, and change the whole dynamic of the situation in that 1 second when we remember. And I think it sounds so easy, but it's definitely difficult. But it takes that awareness and it takes that self discovery and that self inquiry that really brings you inside to see the truth of what's happening in that moment. A Course in Miracles says, everything we do is either a call for love or an offering of love. And so which do you want to choose? Do you want to know that love inside you and be in that place of an offering of love? Or do you want to be in that place that doesn't recognize your love and is always looking for it in the outside world? And it is as simple as that, and yet it's not easy to get to.
Yeah, I love that you brought up that it's losing the loving presence in ourselves, you know, if we had it and then we were triggered out of it. And that really is.
Oh, and if you're talking, I can't hear you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about now?
Yep. Oh, you're good.
All right. Well, forgive me, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love that you bring up the point about losing the loving presence in ourselves. If we were somehow, if we were in that space and then we were triggered out of it, and what a loss that is, because then once we are, then we don't have any help of really helping the situation or hope of helping the situation, because, you know, even having that choice in that moment where, you know, you're fine, and then somebody comes at you with either complaining energy or upset energy. You know, if you then go join them and say, yeah, that's stupid, or, oh my God, that's absolutely crazy. You know, and you get worked up with them, you don't actually fix the problem. But, you know, if you're able to stay in that place of loving presence and rather than join them, you know, validate their upset, you know, take what they're saying and say, you know, I definitely see how, you know, a situation like that would be frustrating for you, or, you know, I definitely get how that's an unfair circumstance, or, you know, that I definitely think that you're being impinged upon by this other person, and I can totally understand your upset. But staying in our own calm and you know, loving presence place, that can actually go a long way. And if you've ever seen, you know, somebody get worked up, and I mean, maybe you don't have a window into therapy sessions and stuff like this, but you can see people, like, it's so funny to watch now with an eye, where it's like people are so upset and their hands are waving and they're all angry, and then just a little bit of validation and all of a sudden they calm down. It's like, oh, thank you. That's what I needed. You know, I didn't need you to come and fight and join my army. I just needed, you know, I needed to know, you know, that I'm seen, you know, my mm-hmm. call for love has, you know, has been heard. And I think it is an amazing thing. And like you say, you can actually help the situation, you know, because this can be, you know, a parent, a child, a lover, a coworker, whatever. And you can go about, you know, sprinkling the world with this beautiful, loving energy by retaining your power.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not about going out and having to fix something. It's just about standing in that loving presence. And, you know, it's interesting because I have seen it working in many situations in my life with people I love, with strangers, how in a moment of recognition of who I am, and then speaking from that place and watching someone absolutely change in a split second, and then suddenly they can't do enough for you. It's just, I've probably shared that story. You've probably heard me tell that the story about the customs officer at the border coming in with Peter. And as soon as I recognized it was getting out of hand, and I pulled myself back inside and then shared my vulnerability, and the customs officer just softened right up and then couldn't do enough for us. It was bizarre at the time because, you know, I hadn't had that many experiences like that. It was a pretty new thing for me, but to watch it happen, I was astonished by how that one little shift in me shifted the whole situation for three people. It was amazing. And I think, you know, I've told that story so many times, and I think that's probably why, because I think it's such a beautiful and clear example of how it really does work.
Yeah, and I think it's even amplified too, because that interaction is where, you know, legally, that customs interaction, the customs officer has all the power already, and, you know, they're being intense, and they're being, you know, in this activated space, and with no power in the interaction, really, other than just a human recognition of one another. How much, you know, even when all the odds or even when all the power dynamic was stacked against you, that such a dramatic shift can occur.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, so it's not just, you know, people say, oh, well, that's great with your family and friends, but you can't do that at work. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think you can do it at work. I think everything that we talk about, everything that we teach, can be applied right across your whole life. It doesn't matter if it's your friends, your family, your workplace. It doesn't matter. It changes the whole dynamic of any situation when you are connected to your loving presence, and that empowerment is coming from that deepest, most root place of who you are. It changes everything. The game changes.
Yeah. Yeah, such a lesson in how much power we do have over not only ourselves, but our environment.
Yeah. And I think that the thing to remember is when you feel like someone's attacking you, remember that they're not attacking you. They're calling out for love.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not having a good time either.
No.
But I know we've used up the whole show already, and it's just fantastic if you'd finish us off with a meditation, Bettina. That'd be beautiful.
I would, even though I'm sad it's over. Just go so fast. All right, so let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself inward to that place where you feel safe and protected, comfortable, loved, and at peace. It is in this place where the truth reveals itself. It is in this place that we recognize who we truly are, where we feel that loving presence, where there is no threat, no fear, no guilt or shame, no anger, no attack. Just love. Just that beautiful sense of pure, unconditional love that is the source of who we are. And in this place, we can gather ourselves, let go of any anger, and remember who we are. And at any moment when we feel we are being attacked, with a breath, we can return to who we are and remember that we can offer love in exchange for anger, and that the other person, even if it appears that they are attacking, the truth is that they are calling for love, and we can answer that call by returning to our own love and then being present in the situation from loving presence, so that the other person can be heard, can feel their value, and can return to their own loving presence. It is a simple choice. It comes with a breath and just a little bit of awareness that reminds us to go home. Always, always remember to go home to that loving presence. And when you're ready, you can wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. It's always a pleasure, and we'll see you again next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.